Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh, this is definitely a certified jam,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah, it is.
Peter Cetera. Oh, he was so good when I saw him in concert years ago.
Wink, if you're listening, do you agree? Certified jam?
Total jam.
Hmm.
And if there's any confusion, it will be Chicago coming.
The band.
To Starlight.
In right. July.
Well, Chicago will be there, not the Chicago.
Band sans.
The city is coming?
Peter Cetera sans the city and also sans the Broadway musical. It's very confusing.
There's no Lizzie without Lynott. There's no Chicago without Cetera.
Amen.
Yeah.
But he was so great. And he did something really cool. I think I told you guys this. It was at the Kauffman Center. It's the only time I've ever been to the Kauffman Center, which is pitch perfect with their acoustics. And he came out on stage, he's getting ready to start, or maybe he did one song. And he says to the crowd, hey, I know everybody's going to want to film some video or take some pictures or whatever. Yeah. If you don't mind, just so everybody gets to enjoy the show, at the end of the night, we're going to close with Hard to Say I'm Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And during that song, whip out your phones all you want.
Oh, that's
did
cool.
He invite you to sing along? Because I would have.
No, he did not.
You would have done it without the invite.
But I'm telling you, he sounded like he was right off the record.
Did he do If You Leave Me Now?
He did do If You Leave Me Now.
That's my favorite song of Chicago.
Yes. But he did, I mean, that was a 70s hit, but he did all, I mean, every 80s hit you can think of. I mean, it was like traveling back in time. A story here when an 11-year-old Virginia girl learned CPR through the Girl Scouts. Wow. She never thought she would be using her new skills less than 2 weeks later. On her dad. Clinton Carawan says he is truly grateful to be alive after having a massive heart attack in November. He had multiple blockages. One of his arteries was 100% blocked, but his 11-year-old daughter, Veda, was there when he collapsed. Veda immediately dialed 911 and connected with the dispatcher. I told him that my dad fell back. He's gasping for air. The 11-year-old then began performing chest compressions on her father. She had learned CPR 11 days earlier at a Girl Scouts training course that he drove her to. She didn't think she would need to use it so soon. Saved her dad's life.
People have been saved all over the world and tell that story, that there happened to be someone right there who knew enough. You don't have to know how to do it perfectly, like the best physician in the world. You just have to do it enough until first responders can get there and take over.
Human ancestors who lived around 3.5 million years ago in southern Africa ate very little to no meat.
Ooh.
According to new research in the scientific journal Science, I believe Dana subscribes.
Mm-hmm.
This conclusion comes from an analysis of nitrogen isotopes in the fossilized tooth enamel of seven, can't pronounce it, individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they do that?
People that were here before
things?
Us.
What?
Right things?
No, they name things unpronounceable words.
To you.
Like that Darth Vader fish or a crustacean that they found off an island in Vietnam that apparently the locals have been eating for years, but researchers say, we didn't even know it existed. And they named it the Darth Vader crustacean.
Yeah, you have trouble pronouncing Darth Vader?
No, I don't.
Oh.
But the scientific name for the Darth Vader crustacean is unpronounceable.
Probably Greek or Latin or some combination thereof.
Did you guys notice, I hate to go squirrel, but it's happening. Did you guys notice over the weekend, while you were watching all of the glorious football that we all watched, the amount of prescription drug advertisements.
Oh, don't get me started.
Whose names, A, you cannot pronounce, but B, sound so ridiculous. I looked over at one point and I go, is that a job description? Is there someone out there where it is your job to name the latest prescription medication?
Ism, Kism, Abrizza?
Yes, it can be for anything. Some of them were for blood pressure. They were all over the board. And specifically during football, I kept saying, who's naming these drugs? Mm-hmm. Have we run out of vowel and consonant?
So, like, Ozempic is not its real name.
No, but I like Ozempic. Everyone knows how to say it. We're now comfortable with that.
But so, like, the ism, kism, schism as Abrizza or whatever the heck it is, that's actually called Sky Rizzy.
That was one of them. Sky Rizzy.
Ism, kism, Abrizza.
Do not take Sky Rizzy if you are allergic to Sky Rizzy.
Yeah, why is that the first disclaimer on every single medical?
Some of the prescription drugs are, they purport to help you with what seems like pretty mild stuff. Like itchiness, okay? And then it goes on to say, you know where I'm going with this. This will help you with itchiness. Don't take it if you're allergic to it. However, side effects include. And then the side effects are like huge, scary, deadly things. I'd rather just be itchy.
Well, when the side effects are 45 seconds of the 60-second commercial.
Don't take it.
I don't think I'm going to take that medication.
Ask your doctor.
Sky, whatever you just said was one of them, but man, I'm telling you, there were...
Oh, those ads are
three or four over the weekend. And I'm like, do people really go into their doctor and say, and I know the SNL skit is very funny, do they really go in and say, look, I was watching football the other day, I've got this itch on my arm. Despite all of the warnings that I might have a stroke or a seizure or a heart attack and die, I would like you to prescribe this.
I know somebody in the industry, and yes, they most certainly do that.
They go into their doctor and say, hey, I want... X?
Yes.
They advertise because it works.
And those advertisements are specifically designed to generate that response.
Huh. Sam, can I have my audio for a minute?
You've got it.
You know, when I hit 50, my body went through a big change, and not for the better. Severe erectile dysfunction shattered my confidence, sent me into a depression, and almost ruined my marriage. And believe me, I tried everything. But then a friend told me about Zentrax. So I tried it, and it worked.
Zentrex is the strongest male enhancement drug on the market. It increases blood flow, boosts testosterone, and ends erectile dysfunction instantly.
So I asked my doctor about Zentrex, and he said, Zentrex? What the hell is Zentrex? And I said, Zentrex. It's the strongest male enhancement drug in the world, and it works. And he said he'd never heard of it. So I pulled up the Zentrex website and showed it to him. He started laughing. He said, are you insane, man? You can't put that junk in your body. It'll kill you. Your heart will stop. Rhino horn? Ammonia hydroxide? That's what's in meth, right?
Zentrex is made strong enough to work on the most extreme cases of erectile dysfunction. And fast.
My doctor asked me, where'd you even hear about that? And I told him, a friend. And he said, well, what's his name? And I said, well, I don't really know him, actually. And he says, but you just said he's your friend. So I told my doctor, look, let's just forget about him and just write me a script for Zentrex and I'll be on my way. My doctor said, are you deaf, man? No. I could lose my license. You could die. I said, yeah, I think I still want it, though, so give it to me. Write the prescription. I wasn't leaving. So he says, I think that website just froze my computer. So I grabbed him a little. And he goes, you're hurting me, sir. Zentrex works.
Side effects for Zentrex include fits of rage, acne, bleeding, baldness, blindness, hallucinations, coma, trouble swallowing, decrease in semen, increase in semen, nasal sores, constipation, vomiting, night terrors, amnesia, and suicidal urges.
And those are just the side effects they tell you about. I get the sweats, my bones are cold, my teeth are loose, my heart gets really, really hot. I could read minds. And sometimes I wake up driving a stolen car. But my erections are fantastic. When I wear gray sweatpants, people cross the street.
And that's okay.
Which is
fine. That's
okay. Zentrex gave me my life back.
Hail Satan.
They have compiled a list of some of the worst drug names. One is a gastrointestinal remedy.
Called?
That is probably supposed to sound like acid and effects. But the name of the drug is Acifex.
Which it gives you. It does give you that.
I'm just going to read the list of some of the worst prescription drug names.
Like truthful marketing.
Hello, doctor. I have an issue. Can I get some Acifex?
sounds like you've already got it.
One is actually looks like it's pronounced filth. I think it means filleth, but it looks like filth. Vagifem, which is better than vagiman.
We got it.
Carfilzombomb.
What?
Might be related.
Carfils with bombs.
For psoriasis, there's Daltz. There's Kevzara for rheumatoid arthritis.
No, I've heard of that one.
I'm sorry, but if you ask your doctor for a Carfils with bomb, do you get automatically put on a list?
You don't fly anymore.
There's Q-Turn with no U. It says, this is another diabetes drug. Are they running out of vowels? And then Jalusa.
Do you ever notice every drug that has a Q in it never has a U after it?
Why is that?
I don't know. Anti-grammar,
apparently.
Is it in the R&D? Is it in the research and development phase where they're okay, we have this thing and we're going to put it in a pill and it's going to do this thing. That they would they go to an ad agency? Who
I would bet they do.
Comes up with the names.
I don't think Ism, Kism, Abriza came from an ad agency.
What about Asifex?
Spell it. Sam,
Ism, Kism, Abriza?
Ism.
It's common spelling.
Ism, Kism.
Abriza. And that's R-Z-Z-A at the end, by the way.
Oh, R-Z-Z-A.
I believe so, yes.
I stand corrected. There are some drugs that start with a Q that have a U that follows.
Oh.
But then there's Q-Var. Q-V-A-R. There's Kissimmea, Q-S-Y-M-I-A. Knassel, Q-N-A-S-L.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not common spelling. Sorry, Dana. R-I-S-A-N-K-I-Z-U-M-A-B-R-Z-A-A.
Nothing we're talking about has a common spelling.
Risen, Kism, Abriza.
Nothing.
By the way, the reason Q is put in the name of drugs, it is Latin abbreviation for the term every day.
From the text line, y'all need to chill out. Why is my furniture levitating?
It's been, by the way, it's been 28 years since someone ruled, I'm guessing it's the FDA, that they have to have the disclaimer at lightning speed at the end of the television commercials.
It is interesting how that changed because it used to be they would just advertise the drugs. Then they had to add in the side effects, and they kept going, and they put them in.
And or death.
Yeah.
But I always love the one, and I'm not new to this. This is not an original thought, and I think, Sam, you mentioned it earlier. Why do they have to put, don't take, you know, Ozempic if you're allergic to Ozempic? How am I going to know that I'm allergic to Ozempic until I take it?
Yeah. It's a quandary, which starts with Q.
It is a quandary.
Wow.
913-586-7798, 913-586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
Hail Satan.
So threaten your doctor or ask your ketamine guy about South African Zentrex today.
It works.
So we're here from the New York Post. A California couple is suing JetBlue for $1 million, claiming a massive chunk of ice from one of its planes crashed through their bedroom ceiling. In a complaint filed earlier this month, Michael Reese and Leah Ferrarini said a watermelon-sized block of ice slammed into their roof and landed directly over their bed at 8 p.m. last January. The couple alleged the frozen debris fell from a JetBlue Airbus A321 that was soaring over their Inglewood home as it headed from Los Angeles to New York. How do they know that? How do they know?
Well, because gigantic chunks of ice don't just fall from the sky size.
They went and looked at flight radar, and they figured there was one plane within a five-mile radius of our home in this exact window. That ice didn't fall from the heavens.
When the thing went boom.
It had to come from something.
It was a big-ass boom. The plaintiffs are accusing JetBlue of negligence for flying a dangerous plane as well as trespassing.
I don't know if I agree with trespassing.
Since the couple, quote, did not grant JetBlue permission to allow a large chunk of ice to enter their home.
Mm.
This is a risk that we take flying jets in cold weather at high altitudes.
Now, in fairness, the plane that they're alleging dropped the ice has had a leakage problem. And this same plane... dropped a chunk of ice on a home in Massachusetts in 2023.
Maybe it needs a prescription.
Like Zentrex?
Stop that leakage.
They are seeking, listen to this. Well, Reese and Ferrarini are looking to, quote, move from their dream home because they no longer feel safe there.
Oh, come on.
They claim they now suffer from insomnia and can no longer sleep well.
Wait. I'm not denying it would be jarring to have something go boom when you weren't expecting it that ends up being ice.
What were they doing in bed at 8 o'clock? Is their last name Parks?
That's a one in a billion shot. It's never going to happen again.
Dana, you can't get $1 million if you don't claim that you have emotional distress and you're going to move out of your dream home.
Money grab.
Yeah, exactly right.
Now, I would argue that JetBlue should pay for the damages to the home.
Oh, absolutely.
Which they claim is $360,000.
Money grab.
They also want $300,000 for emotional distress, $300,000 for pain and suffering.
Distress ain't going to cure itself.
They weren't hurt.
Yeah, what pain?
They want 300 grand for pain and suffering.
I'll show you pain and suffering.
40 grand for medical expenses? They were unhurt.
Mental health.
Right.
This wellness says, their this says was medical. Hurt.
That can be medical.
That is medical.
Mental health is mental.
Which is medical.
Okay.
Now, I'm not defending them.
40 grand? Who's their psychiatrist?
Did they buy a psychiatrist?
He moved in directly under the landing zone.
He went and got a PhD in psychiatry.
Okay.
All right. I love these, like, what do you do when no one's looking stories?
Oh, I do too.
And this is one that I don't think we've ever discussed on the program because we all have different supermarket habits. And I talked the other day about people not taking the carts back in the snow and like all of that stuff. Are you a person who has ever, or more often than is acceptable, are you the type of person that you decide you don't want an item and instead of taking it back,
I've done it.
You just dump it either where it doesn't belong or more often than not, let's be honest, it's up by the register, isn't it? You're getting your items out and you look at something and you go, do I really need this? And so you just put it usually on the smooth surface of the refrigerator that holds like the Diet Cokes.
Okay. I have done what you're talking about, mm-hmm. but here is the only time I will not do that. If it is frozen.
Okay.
Okay. Because what I want them to do is when they're filling the shelves at night, they'll see this can of Pringles and it's in the spaghetti aisle and they'll just take it back over to the chips aisle. But if it's frozen, it's from produce. Especially if it's meat.
Okay.
I will not leave something there that they cannot put back on the shelf.
We want to talk to our grocery store employees because supermarket employees are sounding off on a bad habit they see all the time. Quote, how lazy can you get? There was a theory back in 2020 about whether or not you returned the shopping cart when no one was looking. The bold theory sent shoppers around the world into a frenzy as they shared what they would do in this situation, which was later described as the ultimate litmus test for whether a person is capable of, quote, self-governing. Now, 5 years later, it appears there's a new supermarket-based litmus test determining whether or not you are an upstanding citizen or a bleak. Someone on Reddit posted this photo in an Aldi grocery store. It is 3 or 4 shopping carts full.
Four.
Of stuff that they went around at the end of the night and found in places it didn't belong.
Now, and that's especially bad at Aldi.
Why?
I don't know why people think that they can just put stuff anywhere, but I mean, I've found a pair of, like, they have flip-flops in the random junk aisle at Aldi. I've found a pair of flip-flops on top of the spaghetti sauce.
Well, this is sort of along those lines, Sam. A post in the Aldi fans Facebook group showed a photo of a packet of steak dumped on top of some furniture in the middle aisle of the store. How lazy can you get, the poster asked. There are usually only 4 aisles with halfway crossover, meaning all they had to do was just turn around and put it back and take 20 seconds to put it back.
Now, if it's in an aisle near where I am and I change my mind on the product, I'll go 2 aisles over and put it neatly back.
That is true, by the way. They are all of them that I have been to in the metro, only 4 aisles.
Is it wasting food if it is meat? Is there some, like, if you come across that and you're a grocery store worker,
they have to throw it away.
Do you have to throw it away?
Yes.
In fact, if you even bring it up and they ring it up and you decide, no, actually, I don't want that lunch meat, they got to throw it away.
Why?
Because it was out of the refrigerator.
They don't know how long. They don't know how long it's been out of the refrigerator.
Okay, but if it's something that's boxed, they don't have to throw it away.
Give me an example.
Well, like a box of Triscuits. You decide you don't want that.
No, I would put that back on the shelf.
I would think the stores would put that back. I understand what you're saying, Sam. If it's cold cuts or something, you could have opened that, like rubbed it with hepatitis or something, and then put it back.
Or you could have come through the store at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we don't find it until 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Correct.
We don't know how long it's been on the shelf.
It's anything that has a temperature regulation.
Right.
So, yeah, Triscuits they can put back on the shelf, Pringles.
Look at the photo of the meat. And one person who works in a grocery store says it's getting worse. It is happening more and more.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. It's one of those what would you do kind of questions, or do you do it? And Dana stumbled upon a story about, and I think all of us have done it at some point in our lives, where you have an item in your cart at the grocery store and it's like 4 or 5 aisles away. And it's time to check out. And I've just changed my mind. I don't want that item. But I'm not going to walk 4 or 5 aisles over. It's not perishable. It's in a box. It's like Hamburger Helper or something. And I'm not 22 anymore and I'm not at KU. And I'm going to leave the Hamburger Helper right here next to the coffee. And some kid later tonight, when they're restocking the shelves, he can take it back over to aisle 3.
Someone said of the meat, if you're in a rush, just give it to a checkout staffer who will handle it or, quote, at least put it in the drinks fridge section at the front. I don't know that I want, like, packaged meat next to my soda either.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Larry in Leawood. Hello, Larry.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I worked in the, I'm retired now, but I worked in the grocery industry for 48 years, and 20 of them were at retail. What you're talking about, like your Pringles, setting that down, that's go-backs. You have those all the time. Every day you got to go like a couple or three times a day through the store just to get the go-backs. But if you're finding a big old package of meat or something in with the canned goods, I can guarantee you after 20 years, but I mean, they haven't been in retail for like 30 years anyway. They were going to steal it, and they thought somebody was watching them, so they just stick it on the shelf and then kind of skate right out the door. And
I
bet my soul on that because, you can find meat sometimes out in the open, but when it's like stuffed on top of canned goods in the back or something, it's like, oh, I'm hiding it here, so if somebody saw me walking around with this, they can't see. I'm walking out with nothing. So,
hey, Larry, what's the weirdest thing you ever caught someone trying to steal?
I got a couple stories. One, I probably can't tell on the air. Eggs, taking eggs out of a cart and just put them in their pocket, their pants pocket.
Okay.
Finally had a dairy clerk that went up there. He figured out who it was doing, and he just kind of patted him on the legs, shattered both eggs, and the guy quit. He was a regular customer. He stopped shopping at the store after that.
I bet he did.
Yeah. Lady once tried to steal a ham, a whole ham. She had a long, long skirt on. And she's kind of waddling through the store. And obviously, if you ever stopped a woman shoplifter, we had police, off-duty police, working security, that said, hey, you know, got a woman checker back there, and she's telling me, ma'am, you got to give us that ham. And the lady said, I don't have a ham. I don't have. Finally, all of a sudden, she just lifts her dress up, kind of spreads her legs, and this ham fell out. It was a whole ham.
I'll be darned.
In one of the photos, Larry, there's like, it's clearly the detergent aisle, and someone has just left 2 bananas, not an entire bunch, like 2 bananas. That to me is just lazy.
Well, that's a go back. Yeah, maybe they were going to eat it in the store. I don't know. But I think, you know, your stuff that you find like non-perishable in a non-perishable section. Yeah, they just either thought it was too expensive, didn't want it or whatever. But when you're finding perishable stuff, and especially bananas, they probably weren't going to steal bananas. I would almost guarantee you they'll meet they're going to steal. 99% of the time.
Is it okay to eat some of the food in your cart while you're still shopping?
Oh my gosh, that used to drive me crazy. That absolutely not, no, it's not all right. You know, you can't really say anything if somebody, like, they're buying a bunch of grapes, and
right.
they're, you know, eating them while they're walking through the store, you know, that's not a big deal. It used to drive me crazy. But, yeah, if they're I can't think of something else, but yeah, there's.
Well, I'll give you an example.
Like a bag of chips. A bag of chips that you're going to scan.
What I've done, Larry,
is. Scan it, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to steal it, but what I used to do all the time is get, you know, a Chinese dinner at the Chinese section at the grocery store and then eat the crab rangoons before I got to the checkout counter. But I paid for it.
Yeah. Well, I might have been one of the guys following you around going, are you going to pay for that?
Yes. I'm not a thief.
But yeah, a lot of people are, I think the thieves are offended if you say it. But, that stuff happens, and it's not a big deal.
Okay.
But, hey, before you cut me off, I just wanted to let Dana know that you are my wife's best friend. You just don't know her. That's it. She listens to you every
afternoon.
Oh,
that is the sweetest thing. You tell her I said hello.
I will do that. She's probably listening right now.
All right,
I
Larry,
love it.
You take care, buddy.
All right, you too.
All right, be well. Jenny in Lawrence. Jenny, hello.
Oh, hey. I was raised Catholic. I feel like I'm in confession right now.
Lit on me.
So I've done that. I've done it. I've never put, like, parks that I've never put, like, cold cuts or anything cold from a freezer, but I will put, like, maybe socks back on the Gatorade rack on accident. No, it's not accident. I did not.
Don't lie to us when you're confessing.
You just decided you didn't want them? You just decided you didn't want the socks?
And you know what? Today is a new day. I'm never going to do that again. Okay. I'm never doing it again.
Okay.
Just think of that poor kid who's like, you know, 16 years old.
Yeah,
that's got to round all that stuff up.
It's bad. It's bad. It is bad. I don't like do it a lot, but I've done it. Yeah.
Jenny, 3 Hail Marys.
Right. And then I'm good. Right?
That's exactly
why,
right.
Why do I feel
that's
like it's less egregious if you, let's say it's a small item, like give me something small, like
a pack of gum.
But it's less egregious to me if you put it up right by the cash register. You're getting ready to check out. You're right there. You're next in line.
It still has to be returned.
Yeah, but why does it feel like it's not quite as bad if you put it on top of where the cold drinks are at the checkout?
I don't know.
I've done that before, or I'll say, I'm so sorry, I just decided I didn't want this, and then I'll give it to the clerk. But sometimes I just put it on top of the, you know what I'm talking about. There's like the Coca-Cola.
Yeah, let the 16-year-old find it tonight at midnight.
But it's right there. So I feel like it's not like I'm hiding two bananas in the laundry detergent aisle.
When I've like, and I'll just use the Pringles can example again. I don't like put it behind 5 or 6 hamburger helpers. I'm not trying to play hide and seek with these guys. I just put it right there on the shelf.
It's a new game. We're going to call it Grocery Store Hide and Seek, and I win. You lose.
Speaking of grocery stores, Teamsters union members working at Costco locations across the country voted to authorize a strike over the weekend with more than 85% of members in favor of hitting the picket line. The union represents more than 18,000 Costco employees nationwide. Quoting here from their president, Sean O'Brien, our members have spoken loud and clear. Costco must deliver a fair contract or they will be held accountable.
Did they check their receipts at the door before they walked out?
I'm sure
out?
They do. The union says fair wages and benefits are the catalyst for the strike. According to the union, the wholesale giant recently reported $254 billion in annual revenue, which marked a 135% increase since 2018. We are the backbone of Costco, said Brian Fields, a Costco worker in Baltimore. We drive its success and generate its profits. We hope the company will step up and do right by us, but if they don't, that is on them. The company will be striking itself. Okay. When we get back, why has Amazon suspended drone deliveries in 2 states? Drone deliveries. I'll tell you this, it's because the drones weren't staying up in the air. 913-586-7.
It had one job.
One job, man. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Hey, don't forget to check out our podcast when you get a minute. Sam does a great job of putting every hour up on podcast immediately after it airs. So if you miss an hour, you can catch back up later. You can find the podcast at kmbz.com. Amazon has at least temporarily suspended its commercial drone delivery operations in Texas and Arizona. Let me stop the sentence right there, and we'll go into the details in a minute. I thought they were testing these things.
I did too.
Well, you can't test them without doing it.
I didn't know that they were actually doing it. I thought they were would be out in the field and take it from point A and gently deliver it to point B, which would be a stick.
The dry run should be over abandoned farmland.
Or a desert.
You guys do know that all self-driving technology, and I mean all, is in the beta phase, meaning it's being tested.
That's not what it says here. They said they have suspended its commercial drone delivery operations in Texas and Arizona after two of its latest MK-30 models crashed in rainy weather at a testing facility. All right.
Were they delivering caskets? Because that's what I'm going to need if that thing goes down over my house.
The company announced that it was pausing the program to implement software updates to ensure the safety of its fleet. The crashes, which occurred at their Pendleton, Oregon testing site, were attributed to a software malfunction caused by light rain. Now, wait a minute. If the crashes occurred at a testing facility in Oregon, why have they suspended delivery operations in Texas and Arizona?
Well, something tells me they were rolling them out there.
That doesn't make any sense. By the way, one of the drones caught fire upon impact with the Earth.
You think?
Although an Amazon spokesman told Bloomberg that the crashes... Bloomberg. Whatever happened to him? I thought about him the other day.
Bloomberg.
Whatever happened to that guy?
I don't know. He changed all the laws he wanted to and then
No. The
wandered
caller,
off into
the caller from KCK.
Oh, he calls in from time to time.
I have not heard him in years.
It's not as frequent as it was.
It's been so long, I can't remember his name right now.
I do.
Mr. Bloomberg, call
He's
in.
From KCK and his name was...
I'll tell you right now.
Go Will ahead, save me the trouble of racking my own brain.
I know his name. The minute you say it, it's
yeah,
not Drew. It's
Bloomberg.
No,
Bloomberg.
They'll tell us on the text line. It's on the tip of my tongue. The minute you say it, I'll go yeah. I thought you meant actual Bloomberg.
No,
he's
Bloomberg.
Fine.
Mr. Bloomberg.
Monty.
That's right. That's right.
I told you it was on the tip of my tongue.
An Amazon spokesman telling Bloomberg that the crashes were not the primary reason for the pause.
Mm-hmm. Oh, give me a break.
The company declined to specify other issues being addressed in the software update. Okay, now Sam, wait a minute. Amazon's MK-30 drones had been delivering packages in College Station, Texas, and Tolleson, Arizona, after the company won approval from the FAA in October. Last summer, the mayor of College Station sent a strongly worded letter to the FAA to protest Amazon's drones and their noise levels, which some locals liken to a giant hive of bees.
Yeah.
But it's still a technology that they have clearly not perfected, and that's why it's still in the beta phase.
But they're not just testing it anymore. They're actually delivering in two relatively smaller towns in the United States.
It's how they test it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Our lives are at risk.
I told you when it gets warmer, we are going to summons my car. When it gets warmer, we're going to do it in a controlled fashion in the parking lot.
Here at work?
I've never done it. If we're going to do it anywhere, it's got to be here.
Can we make sure that no one is in the parking lot?
Can I move my car over there to Skillcraft?
It's not going to hit another car. It sees your car. I can't promise it won't hit you.
Most of the time.
No, I want to move my car over to Target. And then I'll come back in the building and watch from a third floor window.
Okay.
But I do not want me or my car in the parking lot when you summons your vehicle.
I'm going to do this. Clap on.
Come here.
Clap
Tesla,
off.
Come here.
The clapper.
More than a dozen cats have been killed or sickened by bird flu that is spreading in raw food products, according to the FDA, prompting a federal probe into how the virus got into the pet food supply chain. Quoting here from a statement from the FDA, the FDA is aware of reports of death or illness associated with uncooked food in 13 domestic cats in 8 households, 1 exotic cat, and an unknown number of animals at 2 sanctuaries for large cats. Cases have been in California, Colorado, Oregon, Washington State. Investigators say they are now working to trace back the outbreaks. Testing is underway but could take several weeks to yield results. What food is it in?
Are we feeding them chicken? Raw? I don't want to know. Or is it the cat ate the bird and the bird had the flu?
I don't know. It says here.
I think by raw food, it means not the highly processed kibble, but like the...
It says uncooked food.
Oh, it is raw food. Okay, never mind.
Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming up in about 2 minutes. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Here on KMBZ, we will see you on the other side of the news.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.